Hey everyone, welcome or welcome back to the Gary V Audio Experience. We have an awesome episode for you today, but we just want to remind you before the episode starts that if you're listening to this episode on Spotify, please leave your comments in the Q&A section under this episode. If you're listening on Apple, Google, or anywhere in between, please tweet Gary at Gary V. Make sure you join the Discord to stay up to date on all things V Friends, and we hope you enjoy this episode.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much for the awesome intro and reaction. Very frankly, how are we doing the Q&A? Where's the Q&A gonna come from? You guys have runners? Awesome, cool. I just can't wait to get to the Q&A, so I just wanted to get that out real quick. And the reason I wanted to do the Q&A, to be very frank, is I think I get to speak a lot, and when I think about speaking, at the end of the day, I'm trying to reverse engineer the audience, right? To me, as a lot of you know, how many people here have seen some of my content online? Raise your hands. Thank you. Actually, real quick, how many of you have not? Raise your hands. Okay, fuck you guys. kidding. So for about 70% of you, you guys have seen the content, and I'll go through certain things that I want to talk to you guys about. For the 30 or 40% of you that just raised your hands that you haven't, you can go to YouTube or Facebook and see this. And so what's super important to me is to make this talk contextual. And when I think about this audience, and whether it's of age or mindset, the youth and the offense of this organization is super attractive to me from afar, right? For me, I'm 41, I'm old, but I feel 16 in my mind, right? And I work like I'm 19, you know, in my prime, because I'm on the offense. It's a mindset. And so the thing that I want to first start with is intangibles, right? I've been thinking about this quite a bit, and let me tell you why this is the first thing I want to start with. Yesterday, for some of you that know, I'm a ridiculously diehard Jets fan, right? And yesterday, the Jets fucked me up because they won a football game. So for some of you that aren't into football, my strategy for this season was to go 0-16 and take a quarterback with the first pick. And so I literally was in the stands yesterday in New York, really upset as my team was dominating an arch rival in the Miami Dolphins. And all the fans around me were pissed because I was like booing when the Jets were doing good shit. And the whole, it was fucking awkward, okay? But here's what happened. The Jets took a player this year by the name of Jamal Adams out of LSU, and he basically was disproportionately impactful on the game yesterday without doing anything that you would normally consider a turning point. He didn't have an interception for a touchdown. He didn't do any of the things that would show up in the stat sheets that would make you say, oh, he won the game as a defensive back. What he did was intangibles. What he did was, the hour before the game, the way he interacted with all his teammates didn't look anything like a kid playing his third game of his life in pros. It looked like a 16-year veteran doing the little things. What he did was, on every play, when the Dolphins made a mistake or an offsides, he basically looked at the entire crowd, which was half empty, and would get them excited. What he did was, when a teammate came off the field that made a nice play on special teams, he ran over and gave him daps. He literally, fundamentally, willed the vibe of the game to go in a direction that created the outcome. I am not physically structured to win all my competitive battles through my life. Yet, when I think about all the one-on-one basketball games, or the floor hockey matches, or the ping pong matches, or tennis, or football, or whatever, like 80% of the time, when I fucking win something in a physical confrontation sporting event, it's because I used intangibles to out-mentally maneuver or disproportionately figure out how to win. I am fascinated by this. I am fascinated by fucking mindset. I am fascinated in a complicated world that we're all growing up in. It's a binary decision if you're gonna be positive or negative about shit. I'm fascinated that when you're addicted to kindness and optimism and positivity, it just, you know, it's so funny. You know, like stuff like The Secret? Like, I love when people talk about like The Secret, like that. But like, people think you sit on your ass on your couch and you're like, I wish I had $1 million, and it's like bloop, and it just shows up. What I'm fascinated by is the reason people succeed that put their mindset into it is because it does something that has really also caught my attention over the last 2 years, which is the following. When you bet on optimism, when you're on the offense, when you were playing towards intangibles, you do something super duper interesting. You start suffocating excuses. If you asked me what the number one thing is that I'm thankful for that my parents gave me, taking me from a communist country and moving me to the US, you know, parenting me well, nothing bad, you know, roof and clothes and all good stuff. If you ask me the number one thing I wake up every morning and thank that my parents did, is I never saw either one of them complain about jack shit. And it basically created learned behavior for me. I am incapable of actually complaining about shit. And that has become the foundation of my success. When I was in my, when I was in my 20s and early 30s, I spent 15, 16, 17 hours a day for 13 years building my dad's liquor store for him. I own nothing of Wine Library, right? I leave that business in my mid-30s, I have no wealth, I built a $60 million wine business for my dad, and I don't sit there and complain. I think about it as I did the right thing by thanking my parents and giving back. Literally, no joke, if I leave this conference today, right now, if I leave, right, we do this, we have a nice little Q&A, it's a good talk, it's fucking cool, I leave, I go to cross the street to go into my car to go to the airport, and I get hit by a car, literally, as I'm laying there, I'd be like, fuck, I shouldn't have left the conference that early. Like, it is in my mindset that literally every negative thing that happens to me is my fucking fault. I recognize that that's not true. You know, when I talk about this publicly, everybody starts bringing up stuff like, what if you're raped? And what if this and that? I understand. I'm a logical, practical person. I'm not talking about knowing or thinking everything is my fault. I'm talking about living a life where you default into believing that as your mindset. Because what happens is you start spending all of your time on offense. My friends, do you guys, listen, here's what fucking freaks me the fuck out. Do you understand, you like that? Let me get to it. It's really interesting to me. I wish everybody in this conference, including myself, by the way, who spends all his time on this, I wish we had better perspective. I wish that there was some fucking crazy, that dude right there with the weird fucking horse t-shirt, I wish he was some weird genie that could take us back into time 80 years ago so that every one of you could live one fucking day in your great-great-grandparents' shoes and understand how fucking good you have it. Like, if you really, really understood how amazing the era we live in. And listen, I'm not like naive to what's happening in our society. I'm aware of the political current climate. I'm aware of everything. Let me just say this very clear so everybody gets it through their fucking dome. This is the greatest year to ever be alive in the history of mankind. I am super empathetic. Again, when you make those kind of statements, do I believe that there is suppression around? Of course. But at a macro data, health, life expectancy, how much hate and negativity actually is in the complete world versus, this is the best. We have it the best. And all I see is people sitting around and dwelling around dumb shit around what they don't have instead of focusing on what they do have. My friends, the internet is a fucking miracle.
Yes, it is.
It's a fucking miracle. The scalability in which you can achieve, the things that you could be doing, the fact that you could be laying fucking naked in your bed at 2 a.m. and doing productive shit is fucking crazy. It's crazy. If you've got your side hustle, this is a young fucking ass crap. If you're thinking about your side hustle, or if you're crushing it with these guys and doing side hustle, there was no side hustle for your great grandparents. Like when it was 9 p.m., it was dark and cold outside. Like shit, like you could, it wasn't practical. We take things for granted. Do you know how upset? You know how you know what's crazy to me? How mad I get when my internet is 1/100 of a second slower than what I'm used to. Literally, it 1/100 of a second slower, and I feel it because I'm used to what speed it's supposed to be, and that's frustrating. Like, on a plane, because the Wi-Fi on a plane is a little slow, which is, so ridiculous because I'm on a fucking plane, and then it's Wi-Fi, it's there. Like, I'm old, I remember not having it. Like, it's crazy how quickly we take things for granted. Like, I love, me and my buddy, so London just banned Uber, and like my buddy landed there and he's like, what the fuck am I gonna do? I'm like, I don't know what everybody's done for the last 300 years, dickface. Take the train. Like, we just get used to shit so fast. And in our speed of getting used to how fucking awesome it is, I'm just desperate this afternoon for you to not lose perspective. Perspective's the fucking game, right? Both my grandfather, look, I sit up here, get paid super duper duper well, get people to think I'm cool because I have entrepreneurial DNA and the timing of it was cool because entrepreneurs got cool. Both my grandfathers had the same exact thing that I had, and because they were Jewish in communist Russia post-World War II, their communism put them both in jail for 10 years in Siberia. Like, just think about that. Timing, opportunity, yes. It is absolutely difficult for all of us. We all have stuff. Do I believe some people have it? Do I believe a white male has it more privilege? Of course, yes, I do. Here's my problem. My problem is if anybody has ever done it with your circumstances, then you have nothing to talk about in the mindset that I want for you to win. If anybody has ever achieved something with two alcoholic parents, that's the blueprint that you can follow versus looking the other way. Life is binary. It's either offense or defense. You are either sitting in your seat right now on the offense or you're not. There is no fucking half pregnant, there's no in between. You're either this or that. And so, I come here with the energy to let you know about how I see it from afar, not knowing every nuance of your life. A, I think this is the greatest opportunity to be alive because the internet has created infinite opportunity for all of us. B, I love something that I'm fascinated by, which is that everything gets accelerated. What you're living through right now, my friends, in society and the business world, is everything's getting accelerated. What the internet has done, it hasn't changed us, it's exposed us. What the internet has done is not necessarily suppress things, it's made everything at the forefront. There's no hiding. Everything is so clear, out in the open, difficult to hide. And so I'm fascinated by this because it leads to bigger opportunity. The speed in which good can happen is extraordinary. It just comes down to actions. So what's really happening? This first and foremost, this device. If you're sitting in your seat and you have any entrepreneurial or intrapreneurial DNA, AKA, do you want to be the CEO of this company one day and grow in the ranks, or do you want to do something for yourself one day? If you have either one, which I assume is one or the other inside your body, you have to take a step back and wrap your head around the following. This right here, this device, is the remote control of our society. This is everything. Everybody keeps trying to tell people to spend less time on this. I recommend you spend all your time on it. I don't give a fuck if you look at another human being's eyes again. This. Because where do you think the world's going? I love when, you know, I have two young kids now and I love all these parents are like, Gary, you're into this social media stuff. Like, this is terrible, right? I'm like, no, Dick, this is the best. Because I'm like, they're like, but I'm gonna tell my kid to spend less time on technology. I'm like, why? What world do you think your kids are gonna be living in 20 years? You think, like, I love the naivete. The naivete. This is all history, my friends. People thinking we're gonna go backwards. Every person in this room is gonna be wearing contact lenses full time on their body in 20 years and triggering between real life, augmented reality where, like, I don't know, Santa's on here on stage with me, right? And complete virtual reality. Everybody in here in 20 to 25 years is going to be living a mixed reality world. You may not like it, you may think it's weird, but people used to think online dating was weird. People used to think the internet was weird. People definitely thought sending a 14-year-old girl into a stranger's car was super weird, and that's what we do with all our daughters now at 14 and put them into Ubers and strange men's cars every day. Social norms are changing at a speed that we've never seen before. So this amplification of everything is what I want to focus on right now. I wrote a book 6 years ago called The Thank You Economy. I want to talk to you guys about it today because I think it matters for most of you right now. It is stunning to me how doing a good deed now travels to such a greater length than it ever did before. To me, if you took anything away from my talk before I go into the Q&A, I want you to understand the following. Somebody is always watching now. there is no interaction that you're having ever again that is just between you and that person. And let me tell you why I want you to think this way. Though that may be true, right, because it becomes he said, she said, though that may be true, if you switch and live the mindset that I've been living for the last 7 years, I really believe that a lot of good things will happen for you. If you believe that every single thing that you do is on the record, you will be stunned by how your behavior changes. If you actually believe that every single thing you do is actually being documented, is actually going to be recorded, is actually being watched, a miraculous thing happens. You change your behavior. Not that you go from being a dick to being phenomenal, it just, and I'm telling you because I've been living it for the last decade, you just start sliding every so often a little bit towards a better place, and it starts changing your behavior, and what happens is you start having momentum of positivity. I believe that karma is practical. I believe that doing the right thing is always the right thing. And so how many people here are managers? Raise your hands. So I'm fast. Actually, can you guys stand up? If you're a manager, just stand up real quick. Don't get lazy on me. Let's get the blood going. Let's not clap up for them. They don't need to be clapped. I'm trying to get, fine, clap, clap. All right, you can sit. Can we keep the lights on? It's better, I like seeing their faces. I'm fascinated by management. How many people became a manager in the last, within the last 2 years? Raise your hand. Funny shit, right? Used to be fun saying your manager was a dick face until you became one. Now you're like, oh, now I get it. Management's super interesting to me. I'm super fascinated by it. I have 800 employees at VaynerMedia, and I love watching somebody go from superstar entry or next tier, and when they go to management, shit changes because everything flips. What managers don't, let me tell you something, managers. I run VaynerMedia, I'm the CEO, 800 employees. I work for everybody. I don't have people working for me. I work for everybody. The biggest issue that managers have when they make that leap is they get very fucking confused. They think that people work for them, and they don't understand that they're working for those people. And so when I think about the thank you economy and being documented and what I really want from you, I'm not here to razz the managers. I want everybody who just stood up to get to the place that they want to in their lives and their careers. And I want to suffocate real quick for all of them to leave their fucking fancy POVs at the fucking door. Because what happens as you grow up the ranks of society and life and in business is you have to start deploying humility, not ego. And that has been the most fascinating thing that I've watched through my career, watching that shift become difficult for, because the way to succeed within an organization that has people working is you have to figure out how to learn to eat shit. And that is super difficult. And the higher up you go, the more shit you have to eat. The amount of shit that I eat every day is so fucking staggering to me. And it is basically the blueprint of my success and every other person that I've seen. Literally, your ability to be the bigger man and woman in every situation, even though 9 out of 10 times you may be right, is the variable of your success, both within an organization and compounded when you go out into the real world. And this takes me back to where I started. Please understand the following. Being nice is ROI positive. It is traveling, it is being known, it is leverage. The ability to be not nice, politicking, on the defense, always wins up front, which is why people are seduced by it. But it never wins the long game. You're winning the sprint for about 40 seconds, but you never win the marathon of what's being played here. It is now compounded because information about us travels at a level we've never seen before. Being a dick in Portland in 1974 was super fine because you could move to Minnesota. That information now travels with us at scale. You don't even want to know how much of a jerk your great-great-grandfather was. All that stuff is lost in history. All of our baggage, here forever. The biggest thing I remind people when they go on tilt, whether it's politics or life or whatever, is just remember, everything you're saying is going to be there forever. Everybody in this room is going to have a conversation with their granddaughter, and they're gonna have to explain their points of view on everything. Forget politics, life, everything. And so I'm fascinated by this dynamic. I think it's a super interesting time, and I really wanna, not inspire, you know, it's really funny. I think about like, I don't really get a super high to inspire or make like a fun event. I get a super high on the emails I read on the way out to this flight this morning. The people that were in an audience, the guy who just told me backstage that when he saw me speak 2 years ago, quit his job and went on the offense. I'm in it for one thing, legacy. I'm in it for one person sitting here emailing me in 6 years and saying, you know, I was a little fancy as a manager until you came to Portland. I was a little high on myself and thinking I was special. I was building towards the wrong path that wasn't gonna be historically correct. And I am just fascinated by the fact that the most simple of traits now is the fundamental game we're playing. That it's crazy to me, as we go more Jetsons, the people that know how to play like the Flintstones are gonna win. Literally, I believe the manners that your great-great-grandparents have are far more suited for where we're going than the majority of us. That we don't realize what's actually happening in front of us, which is we are all, not just me, all day putting out content. D-Rock, where are you at? Yo, not just fucking having a weird dude following you around full time, filming you. Not me, all of you. Maybe mine's an extreme version, but for all of you, you are documenting your entire life at scale forever. And when you start wrapping your head around that, two things unfold, I hope, for 95% of you. Number one, the quality of the life that you're trying to live as a human, so that you're proud about the conversations you have at 60, 70, and 80. And when you get there, a funny thing happens. As you push yourself to be a better fucking human being, better things start happening for you in your actual selfish business wants and needs. And so, I hope that I can suffocate and ignite a mindset here today of people actually understanding what they're doing. Think about all the dumb shit you believed 5 years ago that you don't believe anymore. We keep evolving. We keep changing as we grow. I implore you to understand how big the stakes are in the world that you live in right now. The opportunity is so ridiculous. And so let's get into the details before I get into Q&A of this. I am desperate for every person in this room to understand a couple pieces of data. Number one, if you believe that this is the remote control of our society the way I do, then it gets really interesting when you start thinking about social media. Social media is this nice little, in my marketing world, it's a slang term for nice to have that you support with television, things of that nature. Obviously with a lot of young faces, it's norm for you, it's the main communication funnel, but it probably has a balance between business and your real life and what you're doing as a human. I need everybody to understand something. More than 50% of the time spent by all Americans on a cell phone is on a social network. This is pretty much the punchline. Like, by the time, how many people here are retiring in 10 years? And I don't mean you're gonna open up a bunch of these and you're gonna fucking crush it and buy an island. I mean you're fucking old and you're finished. How many people retiring in the next 10 years? Great, zero. So for everybody here, please understand the following. Everything that is running our society's attention right now, Facebook and YouTube and Instagram and Snapchat and Twitter, everything, 12 years ago did not exist. The smartphone did not exist. Uber did not exist. Airbnb did not exist, nothing. Back to the awesome dude with the fucking horse t-shirt, the reason I wish he could take everybody back is we do not have context to how remarkable, like, it's tough. The people that lived during the Great Depression, the people that lived during the World Wars, the people that lived during the Industrial Revolution, it's hard because it's our lives. It's hard for us to understand how different it is for us than the prior two generations. It's difficult because you have no context to anything else. But the stakes and opportunity are all time. They're all time. Our great-grandkids, everybody else, will look back at this era as the moment. And so I implore you to take a step back and really fundamentally ask yourselves a couple questions. One, what legacy are you building? Because it will be the leverage for everything that you want over the next 60 years, and that is based on your actions. And two, very honestly, are you squeezing the shit out of this moment as much as you can? The thing that I'm super passionate about, as a lot of you know, is I think work ethic is the one thing that's super fucking controllable, right? Like, a lot of us were born with what we were born with, right? Like, you're only so pretty, you're only so smart, you're only so fast, you're only what you are. The one thing that I am fascinated by as you sit here, the way you were parented, where you were born, what you got, the one thing that actually is in your control is the decisions of what you do with your hand. It's like a great poker player, right? A great poker player doesn't need the best hand every time to win. It's how she or he navigates with that hand. We're not gonna change who we are or where we were born or to whom we were born with. But no matter where you are in the life cycle right now, we all have the opportunity to start looking at it a little different. And to me, very frankly, I just think we spend an enormous amount of time on dumb shit when we have ambition to do so much more. Now look, you do you. I'm not interested in peddling being a workaholic, I'm really not. You can do whatever you want. The happiest friend I know from growing up, I think he makes $50,000 a year. He's on 17 fucking softball teams. He fucking takes every vacation day off and he's happy as shit. And I love him and it makes me so damn happy. I have friends who were early employees at Facebook. They have $100 million in a bank and they're miserable and it's shit. This is not a money conversation. This is very simply, do your actions back up your mouth? To me, looking at the hashtag, looking at people talking about this, looking at their social media, when I have the whole East Coast to West Coast long flight, I get into a lot of work. I get all my work done, and then I start looking at all of your social media on the way here, and I look at the hashtag, and I see what you said about the earlier speaker, and I do my thing, right? The thing that fascinated me a lot about this conference is you've got a lot of people peacocking in this organization. There's a lot of you are talking big shit. And I don't mean about this conference, I went back and looked at all your tweets. Did you know there were 37 billionaires sitting with us today? I'm fascinated by that. I'm fascinated because we're sitting in a world right now where entrepreneurship is on a pedestal of cool. So everybody's flocked to it. And everybody's talking about how they're gonna crush it and what they're gonna do and who they're gonna be. And then you look at their content and every Friday night, they're at a fucking concert. And every Sunday morning, they're this. And every Tuesday afternoon, they're that. And they watch a shitload of fucking Netflix. And they're incredible at fucking Candy Crush. And fucking. And so, I go on this rant, not to do anything or to razz or to fucking call anybody out. I'm just asking a very simple question. I promise you, if you wanna be pumped professionally and personally, there's one thing that will drive you to the biggest success. It's called self-awareness. Do you know who you are? Do you know what you're about? Are you actually talking about shit that you care about? Are you talking because three or four people that you love talk that game and you just feel like you've got to fit in or appease your mom or dad or uncle or aunt or grandmother's ambition? The thing that helped me so much was just self-awareness. In fourth grade, I punted school because I knew I sucked at it. I knew that I could make $3,000 a weekend as a 10-year-old selling baseball cards, but I couldn't spell 90% of the words that were being thrown at me. It was just who I was, it was how I was wired, and I implore everybody in this conference to really think about this incredibly interesting thing, which is when you're self-aware and you can get to that place of understanding yourself, I implore you to triple down on your strengths and punt your weaknesses. This country is really good at selling down our throats what we're not good at. We're always being sold what to fix. I truly believe that most of the people in this room will succeed by not addressing those things. Now, something could be fatal, right? Like, something could really hurt you. But I think you need to just lift those, get them to a certain place so they're not a vulnerability, and triple down on your charisma, and triple down on your salesmanship, and triple down on your work ethic. Whatever those one, two, three, four, five pillars are, it's fascinating when you study who's winning and who's not. It's the people that have the confidence to suck at shit that are winning. I can't read, right? Like, I'm terrible at it. Like, reading a second grade book to my daughter's like, you sure you want to read me? Should go look a bird. You know, like, yet standing in front of 800,000 people, I'm like, cool, I'm good. Like, we need to start thinking more and more, and as you're going through your careers right now, I implore you to be confident in what you're good at and to punt what you suck at, because I promise you, everybody else sucks at shit too. Everybody's got strengths and weaknesses, and I'm fascinated by people's obsession to pour all their efforts into fixing their weaknesses, which is playing defense, and not tripling down on strengths. So if I leave you with anything structurally from a strategy standpoint and mindset standpoint, I highly implore you on that. And that's it. Like, those are the things that are really kind of happening to me. I'm fascinated that we're in this era. I want people to take bigger advantages of it, right? I need people to understand how ridiculously unbelievable it is and to figure out, do they really want stuff? Do they love how many people love working because they just love the game of trying to win at a career or building a business? Raise your hands. Those people are gonna have a disproportionate advantage because it doesn't feel like work. It's just their zone. For the rest of you, you need to figure out what you like about it and spend all your time on that, because if you're in a place where you don't like it, you're not gonna put in the amount of work that's needed to actually achieve the things that most of you want. It's very, very simple. Put yourself in a position to succeed. Put yourself in a position to succeed. And I will finally, how many people here feel like they are not self-aware? Because I wanna address this if I can. Just raise your hands if you struggle, you think a little bit with self-awareness. Raise your hands. Nobody wants it. Everyone's. I'll just go to it because I respect why that's a tough one, why we got half the hands that we should have, and more importantly, the ones I got were fucking, you know, crocodile hands. If you're listening for the last 7 minutes, and I'm going towards I'm going through an awkward territory, I'm going there because it has been clearly in the last 4 years the thing that I've seen has won and lost. I would highly implore you take the five people that spend the most time with you, coworkers or family members, if you feel like you're struggling with this issue, and invite them to dinner, create a weird event where it's like your mom and a coworker, and I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Create a weird event. And tell everybody, like, you really wanna figure out what you're good at, what you're not good at, and spend 3 hours getting the people that love you or know you the best comfortable with telling you the truth. Because nobody wants to tell you. Because most people are kind. Right, we don't tell people because we like each other, like especially the people that are closest to you. But this is something I threw out about a year ago in a blog post, maybe 2 years ago, and it's been the thing that I've been most emailed about. It's remarkable, and it's an unlock, because when you don't see it, when you're blinded to it, you're doing the same repeat behavior that's stopping you from the thing, and once you can break it, if you have the humility to be comfortable with yourself to go there, it's a humongous unlock, and it is the disproportionate reason. Listen, my friends, a lot of people, when they talk about technology and social media and investing in business, they want me to talk about details, right? Like, we're about to do Q&A. Like, we'll go to it now, because it's run in 2 minutes, I promise. And if you want to ask me a simple question of how to get more Instagram followers, I'm thrilled to answer it to you. I'm thrilled. I will give you everything I've got in detail. But if you ask me why I get to sit here today, if you ask me why I believe he's been able to build this business, my friends, all the magic is in the gray. It's not in the black and white. All the tactics you can Google right now. You can Google anything you want. You wanna do Facebook ads better? It's the best deal in marketing. You wanna sell shit? Do Facebook advertising. Your company should do a shitload more Facebook advertising. I should do more Facebook advertising. It's a fucking steal. It's the steal, right? Instagram influencers, fucking steal. People don't know how to price themselves. They give you awareness. Some are overpriced, some are underpriced. Fucking steal. Under 30, Snapchat ads, $3 CPMs, swipe up, people are watching videos. These are the details. But if you're fucking insecure, it's not gonna mean dick. If you don't know what the fuck you're doing with yourself, it's not gonna mean shit. The reason I spend my time on talking about this is not because I wanna be a fucking motivational speaker and fluffy fluff fluff and rah rah rah. It's because it's the fucking thing. It's the thing. If your operating system isn't right, you got no fucking chance. If you're not fucking in a, do you know how fucking unbeatable I feel? Do you know that if you think I'm the best and I'm fucking the best and you're wearing my fucking hoodie and I'm the fucking best, do you know how good that feels? Phenomenal. Do you know if you're sitting here right now, never heard of me, and you're like, fuck this guy, I don't like his bravado. I don't give a fuck either. I don't care if you think I'm the best. I don't care if you think I'm the worst. I'm just in my shit because I'm grounded, because I know what I am and I know how I'm trying to live my life. And I want that for every fucking person, because let me tell you something, it fucking is the best. It's such a good place to be. Do you know what it's like to be in your own head and nothing else matters? Do you know what it feels like to give a shit so much about what everybody thinks, yet not care at all? Do you know that when I leave here, I'm gonna look at every single tweet about this talk, and if somebody said, eh, I'm gonna be devastated like I fucking died, yet equally don't give a fuck? When you can get to that place, amazing shit happens. You know why? Because you stop being scared. When you're not scared, you do shit. When you're scared, you do nothing. And when you're not scared, you do shit. And even better, when you're coming from a good place and you're intense good because you're good and you have good to give, shit really starts happening. And so I implore you, let's go. Get the mics ready, I'm ready. Let's go into the Q&A. But I implore you, I'll go into every detail, but I implore you to get inside your head real quick. Figure out who you really are and figure out if what you're talking is being mapped by what you're doing. Because the second you put those things together, shit fucking unlocks. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening or watching to that episode of the Gary V Audio Experience. We really hope you enjoy it, and we hope to see you next time.